Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And as you know, there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I am excited about the continuing study in the book of Proverbs. We know that this book of wisdom gives us so many tidbits on how to navigate and manage our lives through this experience we're having this side of eternity. And I also want to remind you that you should take your Bible sources, keep them open, meaning your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles if that's what you have, and have your pen and pencils ready for taking notes. Every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, at which time you may ask questions or comment, or even inquire if you like. Our host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, thank you, meaning those of you who have given me feedback upon this particular show. I assure you, my precious brothers and sisters, that I'm using it. So I thank you again for and ask you to continue to give me that information. Okay, as the theme song for the show suggests, as always, before we start, are we standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, God said through Moses to Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does the work with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. The promise, my brothers and sisters, God will not fail us. If we stay encouraged and strong, fear him, keep his commandments. God said again, this time through King David, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's Psalms 24, verse 14. The promise is God will show us what we need to do if we fear him. God said again through King David, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his ways. My precious brothers, the promise is that we will be guided in judgment and we will be taught what we need if we are meek. And that's taken from Psalms 25, verse 9. Now, before we get started, as I always do too, I want to remind you, this is a rehearsal that I think is pertinent to the instruction of the Bible. The Bible, my precious brothers and sisters, is written in code. And that means we have to decode it to understand it thoroughly. And that's talking about mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, symbols, and the like. And the only way to break the code, the only way to decode this, is through study and learning. And that's what we are about on this program, studying and learning together. Okay, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 1. My precious brothers and sisters, of the Proverbs, the instruction and the scripture text that I read are identical. So keep that in mind as we go through the text, the study tonight. So Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, and I want to have you keep this in mind. This is the instruction. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. My brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus Christ told us, take no thought for tomorrow or anxiety or worry, for tomorrow will take thought, anxiety, and worry of itself. Sufficient are the evils of this day to overcome and conquer and be victorious over. My brothers and sisters, don't boast about tomorrow. We wait on it to come, and then we respond accordingly. This is what King David said, King Solomon said about it in Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That is telling us exactly what I relayed to you, how Jesus put it. Now what we're going to do is go to Psalms 94 to begin with, just to amplify this. We're going to see how King David put it in Psalms 94, verse 2 through 4. Listen to what King David says. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. It's telling us that boasting is not good. And David completes the thought, 7 through 19, those verses say, yet they say the Lord shall see, not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people. And ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. They are vanity. My precious brothers and sisters, boasting is going to get you in trouble with God. And I know we do it, and that's something we need to check. And this is what Solomon is telling us as a caveat. Now let's go to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to see how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. And listen to the parable he gives concerning boasting, what could happen to you. This is what he said. And Jesus said unto them, take heed. And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, meaning that when you boast about tomorrow, you're being covetous. That means that you are thinking that you're going to do this and make this happen tomorrow, and you may not get tomorrow to prosper or engage in it. Listen to what he said in verse 10. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I see that we are at the first break. Let's take the first break, and then we'll come back and complete this thought.
You know, I don't do too many of these. I don't know who this is for type post. But I'm out here golfing. Sometimes I'll actually miss a shot, shank it a little bit, and it'll actually go closer to the hole. Then when I learn from my mistake and I hit it better, the actual results, the landing spot for the ball is not so good. So last time I did that, I said to myself, or perhaps the Spirit said to me, immediate results are not always evidence of progress. Or progress is not always shown in the immediate results. So I don't know who this is for, but I just want to say, if you just started doing something right, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started dating correctly, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started praying fervently and without ceasing for something, you finally gave it to the Lord for once, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. Progress is happening, and it will show in the long run.
If someone were to ask you who is Denzel Washington, you would say, he's a great actor. I would say, no, that's what he does, but that's not who he is. If someone were to ask you who was Aretha Franklin, you would probably say she's a great singer. And again, I would say, no, that's what she did. But that's not who she was. Because we think that identity and activity are synonymous. There are many Americans right now that have lost their jobs. And for many, their identity was wrapped in what they did. And I want to encourage you and remind you that you are not a human doing, but a human being. Because your identity is not in what you do. It is in who he says you are. So I need for you to get up right now and remember everything he says about you. Right now, get up and be. Let's go. Man, I want to say this humbly. Man, we got to stop sounding like broken records when we keep going to the Lord about the same thing, the same way. Over and over and over again. It ain't really about the conversation and the time with God. We just want God to help and fix it. But instead of God so busy wanting to fix it, a lot of times God is wanting to fix me. And so he will use it as the tool to fix me. So the thing that we're wanting him to remove and to deliver that we keep going over and over and over about, like he don't know. He knows. And he also knows it is the thing that gets you on your knees quicker. And so whatever pushes you to your knees is good. For his glory and for your good. Because he loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this thought. We're talking about boast not thyself of tomorrow. And we heard what the psalmist said about it. And now we're listening to the parable that Jesus put concerning it. And listen to what he said in verse 18. We're looking at Luke chapter 12, and it's verse 15 to 21. Verse 18 is where we left off. And this is what Jesus said. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and goods, and I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But listen to what God did. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? My precious brothers and sisters, listen to the concluding thought. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. When you boast, you take the chance of losing out. Listen, now this is what I want you to get spiritually from this particular instruction. That tomorrow may not come ever. So be careful not to put all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak, meaning that I'll do it tomorrow. Boast not about tomorrow, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. And this is what we're going to, or I want you to pay attention to as I read the verse. This is the instruction. Let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? It's exactly what the scripture says. Let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth, a stranger and not thy own lips. That's so you can remain meek and humble and lowly of spirit. That is what God requires. That's what Jesus says. Look unto me, for I am meek and humble and lowly of spirit. Learn of me, and I will give you rest and peace unto your soul. That is key to godliness. If you are proud and boisterous and egotistical, you will receive the fruits of your labor, meaning God resisteth the proud, but he gives more grace to the meek, humble, and lowly of spirit. Okay, let's look and see how it should be and how it is put in the Old Testament to exemplify it. Let's hear in the book of Job how God illustrated this through Job. Listen, and you will hear that God is the one that is going to bolster you up. You should be meek before him, and his glory shall exalt you. Remember, Jesus says that he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And this is what God said about Job in Job chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to hear that there was a man from the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Listen to what God said about him in verse 8 through 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord God, saying, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to the face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him thou shalt put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And verse 22 completes the thought. Listen to the end of the story. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. My precious brothers and sisters, what that's telling us is we have to be humble and let others give us the praise and glory. And we will benefit from that. If we do it ourselves, we will fall. We will fall. Listen to what the New Testament compliment says about it. We're going to look where Paul is talking about Philemon to a friend. And this is how Paul put it in Philemon chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, he is of my own bowels. And he completes the request in 17 through 23 when he says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou oughtest unto me, owe me besides. Yet, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that I, through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. And so what is being said here is that Paul is vouching for Onesimus, and that is the order that we should make sure that we allow others to tout us than we ourselves. That is meekness. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that self-pride is dangerous. It is not meekness. And only the meek shall inherit the earth. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is key. And that's what I want you to take from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Proverbs. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 27 again. We're going to take two verses from Proverbs chapter 27, this time verse 3 and 4. And, of course, as I read the verses to you, I want you to keep in mind the particular instruction. And I see we're at the second break. Let's take the break, and then we will return to the lesson.
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't gonna talk about my success. They're gonna talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives, you've developed people, and you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart. And all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are.
When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go on to the next instruction, and we are at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the scripture text to you. The wrath of a fool is heavy. My precious brothers and sisters, we do not want to experience the wrath of a fool, because that means it will be crazy for us. We will be in over our heads, and it will be no holds barred. The wrath of a fool. And this is what Solomon says about it in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? My precious brothers and sisters, a fool is crazy, and crazy wrath is uncontrollable to the extent where it could hurt itself in the process of hurting someone else. That is how pitiful that can be. Now let's go to Psalms 14, and we're going to see how King David put it. Psalms 14, and this is what King David said. And listen, this is very significant. King David said to Israel, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They all have gone astray. They all are altogether filthy. There is none that do good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord God? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what happens in foolishness, and foolishness only destroys. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to see our complement, how it compares and agrees. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is going to give us an understanding of what we should be looking out for. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 17. This is what Jesus said considering foolishness. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. This is what Jesus says. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Jesus answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. My brothers and sisters, leave the foolish alone. The only time you should have any contact with them is to instruct them on the ways of the Lord God Almighty. And this is what we should get from this spiritually, that boasting is usually vainglory. And Paul says, no flesh shall glory in God's eyes. So the wrath does not work righteousness. It only works evil. It is evil working out of the flesh. That is what I want you to understand, that the wrath does not work righteousness. Let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 5. And in Proverbs verse 5, the instruction is identical to the scripture text. And here's the instruction. Open rebuke is better than secret love. My precious brothers and sisters, open rebuke is better than secret love. And that is only true to those who receive it. Because open rebuke to a fool, as we just read, could be destruction for you. So you have to be careful how you rightfully divide the word of truth, especially coming from Solomon, because Solomon is giving you wisdom that is physical and wisdom that is spiritual. Remember, God gave him both to the extent where he took both of what God gave him as gifts and took them to the extreme. So that's why you have to be very careful in this instance. And this is what verse 5 says. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And that is only for the righteous. Because again, if you openly rebuke the foolish, they will destroy you. And this is what Psalms 94 again says about that. Psalms 94, it tells us in verse 12 through 17. Listen to what David said about this. Blessed is the man whom thou chastisest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. So see, discipline from God for the righteous is good, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Again, the righteous shall prosper in discipline. The wicked shall falter and be destroyed. Verse 14 continues, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return upon the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord has been my help, and my soul that almost dwell in silence. Rebuke that is open, discipline that is chastising from the Lord, is beneficial. But the wicked, the evil, it will end up in destruction. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually. Or before we go to that, let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to look at Revelations chapter 3. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 3, and we're going to see how the Spirit speaking to the church talked about this in Laodicea or to Laodicea. We're going to be looking at verse 19 through verse 22, and we're going to see how open rebuke is better than secret love according to the Spirit speaking to the church at Laodicea. And this is what Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 to 22 says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So you can see that chastening part of God's correcting unto righteousness, and it will be a benefit for us. I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
The word today is fellowship. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. When I think of the word fellowship, I think of relationships. I think of coming together. I think of community. It's a fact that we can do more together, but it's also a fact that we can be more together. And what I mean by that is that other people around us, when we have community with them, when we have fellowship with them, when we have relationship with them, they add to us. You see, I am not complete in myself. I'm born to be my brother's keeper. You're born to help me. We're born to help one another. And there's something beautiful about the fact that when we recognize that and realize that we're not here to just to compete with others, we're here to complete or complement others, that really makes fellowship work. So I hope you have some friends, some people around you that when you're with them, they just help you to not only do more, but to be more. They add value to you. Because what fellowship is basically saying, I'm better with you than without you. That's true. Welcome today. I'm glad you're with us on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were completing the instruction on open rebuke is better than secret love. And we know that the Spirit speaking to the church at the Laodiceans said, as many as I rebuke, or as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. And he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. This is critical, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that correction gives direction, and that shows concern for your welfare. That's what I want you to get from this instruction, my precious brothers and sisters, that correction gives direction, discipline, and it shows concern for your welfare. And that is what exactly the Laodicean instruction is telling us. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, and we're going to look at one scripture, and of course, the instruction is identical to the reading of the scripture. The instruction is, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let's hear what Solomon had to say about that. Verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. My brothers and sisters, we're going to get a better understanding of that. We're going to go to 1 Samuel. We're going to see how David benefited from this with Jonathan, the son of Saul. We're going to look at verse 1 Saul chapter 19 and listen to what 1 through 4 says. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself there. And I will go out and stand before my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and will see what he tells me. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee worth very good. For he, and then verse 6 and 7 completes the thought, and Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in many times past. So you can see that a faithful friend standing in for you can avoid a tragedy. And that's exactly what this is telling us in the example. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to see, comparing and agreeing, how John taught his disciples, giving instructions on how critical it is for a friend indeed. It is 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Listen, my brothers and sisters, what this is telling us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is telling us that a friend indeed will lay down their lives for their brothers. Verse 17 continues, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And he's given us the example that if we see someone we consider a friend, not even a friend, if we see someone in need and not respond to that need affirmatively, especially if it is critical to life and death, that is not how Christians should act. And in verse 18, he continues, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That means we must be workers and not talkers only. Verse 19 gives a complete thought. And hereby do we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So if we work our faith, then we know and we are proving that we are keeping God's commandments and working according to his dictates. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, I want to take us there quickly because that too gives more impetus to the friend that we should be to our fellow man. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, 6 through 8. Listen to what Paul said concerning this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My precious brothers and sisters, the concluding thought tells us that Jesus called us his friends. And because he called us friends, that he would give his life for us. And that is how we ought to act with our fellow men, especially with those who are of the household of faith. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to, let's look at what it should mean to us spiritually. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. This is what I'm trying to get over to you spiritually, that the flesh dies because of excess. I don't have that written in. I apologize. So let's go on to the next instruction. Let's go to instruction number 158. And what we're going to be looking at is Proverbs 27, verse 7. And again, we're taking one verse, and that verse is going to be identical to the instruction itself. And the instruction says, physical excess retards the flesh. Physical excess retards the flesh. And this is what the proverb says. The full soul loatheth at honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. That is the reading, and we know that excess retards. And this is what Psalm 78 says about it, to open it or exemplify it more. Let's see what David rehearsed to Israel concerning this. You know that some of the, as I mentioned earlier, that the Bible is written in code. So we got to decode this. This is a good decoding of what Solomon said when he talked about the excess. This is what Psalm 78, verse 29 through 31 says. And I see... It says, Psalm 78, verse 29 says, so they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the Lord's wrath came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. And this tells us that because of their excess, that is what the end result was, death, if you will. Now let's turn to our compliment, and we're going to look at James chapter 4 and see how James gives it to us today that tells us about the same excess is not good for us. Listen to what James says. From whence comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not thence even of your lust that war in your members? We're talking about excess now. And when it retards, I see that we're at the last commercial break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the course for today.
So it isn't sin that torments. It is the guilt, the weight, the burden, a sin of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. Now, if sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin. The guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt of destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong, you're relentless. Strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. Comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance. And beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're looking at is physical excess retards the flesh. Now this is what James says about it in James chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Listen, he says, from whence comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not even of your lusts that war in your members. They're talking about excess. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Again, we're talking about it retards the flesh when you're doing contrary to godliness. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of God or the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think not that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And that is why excess destroys, because the spirit does not allow excess of the flesh. There's a war going on between the two. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that the flesh dies because of excess. The curse, and that is because of the curse of the Garden of Eden. Remember when God says, the day that you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die? And that is what the excess causes. It causes death. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 27, verse 8. And we're going to look at this instruction, and it's going to be identical to the scripture I'm going to read. The instruction is, far from God is aimlessness. God is active, and God is productive. God is not void of activity that is prosperous and correct. And this is what this is telling us in Proverbs 27, verse 8. Listen to what Solomon says. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And that's telling us that if we wander from God, we will be aimless. And God is not a producer of aimlessness. Now, let's look at Psalms 1, and it's going to give us an indication of that. Psalms 1, verse 4 through 6. Listen to what the psalmist said to Israel. Psalms 1, and it's verse 4 through 6. This is what David told of aimlessness. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So because of aimlessness, you stray from godliness, this is going to be your fate. And to give more of an understanding, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi the prophet, this is what he said in his writing. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verse 15 through 18 in Malachi, and listen to what the prophet had to say concerning this. The prophet said, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that through it, and that though, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. My brothers and sisters, the last thought, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That is what Malachi says, that aimlessness is going to cause you to lose out. Godliness is the only road to God's righteousness in heaven. We're going to go to the New Testament now, and comparing and agreeing, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and this is what Jesus says about it in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 33. This is how Jesus put it, and this is concerning aimlessness. Listen to what Jesus said, my precious brothers and sisters, verse 31 through 33. And this is what Jesus says. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he that set the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for you for the devil and his angels. My precious brothers and sisters, you cannot be aimless. If you wander from God, you will suffer the consequences. And we can see that Jesus tells us that the consequences will be hell, and it will be a curse. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That unrighteousness, the ungodly, the disobedient, the sinners in general will and are separated from God. And that will be the fate of them, my precious brothers and sisters. We'll have one more instruction for this evening, and then we will conclude the lesson. Turn again with me to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to be looking at verse 12, and this is the instruction. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. This is so significant, and this is one reason why we must follow the Lord, so we can be able to see what is right and follow correctly. Verse 12 out of Proverbs 27 says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And this is what King Solomon said about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 says also, to add emphasis. Who is a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. My precious brothers and sisters, that tells us that you want to be wise. You want to be prudent. And then in being wise and prudent, you will forego the evil that is so easily besetting us. And if you turn with me now to this is the conclusion of the study for tonight. And as always, before we depart and close, we, the host and I, would like to thank you for taking part in this instruction tonight. Bless you, and continue to be active in your study, and we encourage you to stay the course. And this we say in the name of Jesus Christ, and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.